Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bun, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. As stated by Young's Gregory Bunton, you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. You know, each and every week you log onto this program here, and you hear that little intro that says, song that said, do not grow weary in well-doing. You know, I encourage each and every one of you that's involved in ministry to keep doing what you're doing. I'm excited about our guest this morning. I met this young man over at one of our street ministries, and he shared what God was doing in his life, and it blew me away. And I said, hey, I got to have him to come on to the program to share what God is doing in his life. And I'm so happy that he accepted that invitation, and he's on the line right now. But before we go any further, I'd like to give you the call-in number. It's 310-982-4126. You too can call into the show and give your comments regarding our guests and voice your opinion about what God is doing in the life of the believer. Without any further delay, at this time, I'd like to introduce to you our guest for the this portion of the program, Joel. Good morning, Joel. You on the net?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Well, hello. Welcome. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Man, please introduce yourself and tell us about what God is doing in your life.
Well, God has been absolutely amazing. I am a pastor. I am originally from Connecticut. I started a congregation in Massachusetts. We moved to Vermont. I ended up coming and traveling out. I've been blessed to be able to record an album at Sun Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. I've also been blessed to be able to record one at Radio City. I've been blessed to be able to be involved with overseas ministries. I haven't gone over there, but I've been involved with them, and, you know, it's been an absolute blessing. I've been involved with a program in Madras, India, that is involved with taking Christian women from the area because, you know, it's not a free country. And these women, you know, if they find out that they're Christian, they'll kill them. And these women are blessed to be able to come into the program and to, you know, receive schooling, and a lot of them end up, you know, coming out and being Christian evangelists. And it's an absolute blessing, Brother Joel, that these people get to have these blessings, because if it wasn't for God, they'd be dead by now. You know what I mean? So that's obviously a great blessing, my friend.
Oh, man, that is truly a blessing. And as you were sharing your testimony, and I was really excited about what God is doing with you and in the ministry, but how God encouraged you to various places for the gospel. You said that you had just came out for a recording session at the studio in Memphis, Tennessee. Tell us a little bit about that. Give our guests an insight of what God is doing.
Well, you know, that was actually something that was kind of last minute. We were traveling through, and somebody said to me, they were involved with a church that, you know, I kind of knew, and they said, hey, you know, I recognize you. And I said, well, I feel bad for you. You know, I was joking around with them. And he said, I saw you in New York. And I said, really? He said, you prayed for my wife. She said that she had cancer, and you prayed for my wife, and you prayed for her that God would heal her. And she woke up the next day, and she started doing things, and now she's starting to respond to her treatment as she's never responded too well to it before. She's starting to respond to her treatment. And I actually, you know, spoke to the gentleman recently. He told me that his wife is cancer-free, thank God.
Amen.
But, you know, amen. And he said, you know, when we were there, he said, hey, you know what the studio is? I said, yes, I do. I came in here for a tour a couple years ago. he said, well, do you know who started here? I said, yeah, a lot of people. He said, well, who in particular? I said, well, Elvis and Johnny Cash. He said, okay, come on. You know, he had a friend of his that was a guitarist, and he had a group of people with him, and, you know, one of them had a drum set and everything. He said, here, start recording. I'm like, huh? And we ended up doing the songs in there. We did a few songs in there, and I was blessed to be able to record Amazing Grace inside of Elvis's piano room in Graceland. And, you know, people, you know, Graceland is such a great place. I mean, I'm an Elvis fan myself. You know, I don't go to the extreme of dressing up with Elvis or anything like that, but, you know, I'm an Elvis fan myself. And, you know, Elvis was a good Christian person himself. He did a lot of Christian music, and he had a good heart for God, you know. And, you know, the truth of the Bible is that Jesus Christ is truth. And we, in ourselves, we may think, well, you know, this is a lost cause. This is a worthless situation. We're stupid. We're worthless. But, you know, people wonder why they have problems in their life because they don't seek the kingdom of God first. They go out of their way, and they start to get into drugs. Maybe they'll start to get into all these other things that are not of God, and next thing you know, they're in a bigger hole because they didn't want to trust God. And people will recognize that if they trusted God in the first place, and they went to God in the first place, you know, you can't just expect the situation to go away, but you can expect the situation to be changed as in you're changed in that situation. And I've seen people that I've ministered to in jails that, you know, they came out and, you know, now they're out there evangelizing. They're out there handing out Bibles to people in New York City. They're out there, you know, one of them became a pastor in New Jersey, you know. So it's definitely a great blessing because these are people that, you know, society will look upon and, oh, my goodness, you don't want to go near them. They're crazy criminals. But, you know, who are we to judge anybody? And in us trying to judge those people, we're only going to condemn ourselves because we have no right to judge anybody, only God does. And, you know, when people recognize that, Brother Joel, you know, I think that, you know, we can have a better life. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But we need to thank God anyway because, you know, great miracles happen in life. And sometimes God will put us into situations that we don't like, but he does it for a reason. And like I was saying in the ministry in Dallas last Sunday, you know, people, you know, that are there, you know, they may feel like they're an absolutely lost cause because they're homeless and they have nowhere to go. They're living under a bridge. They're living in a car. Maybe some of them aren't living anywhere, you know. And, you know, they may feel like the situation is absolutely worthless, but God has a better cause for everybody, and God loves everybody. And, you know, people can use that to their advantage later on in life in trusting God. And in knowing that that is what, you know, they need to be doing to help improve their situation. And when they recognize wholeheartedly that there's nothing that's impossible, then they can get, you know, a better life. You know what I mean, Brother Joel? So, you know, I just thank God, too, that, you know, he gives people the opportunity to serve him and to do great things. And even though we might not feel sometimes like we want to worship God, we want to get up, we don't feel good, you know, we're sick, you know, instead of complaining about it, instead of, you know, just whining and bickering and carrying on, thank God that he's going to do something, and thank God that blessing's actually going to come out of that. And, you know, it was great to see, there's a lively group of people, and it was great to see the Korean church from Carrollton out there, and you know, how brothers and sisters from all over the world, you know, people, you know, the Korean church and, you know, people from all over the place, they care about people in need. And, you know, they saw that there was a need for this type of ministry in the area. They saw that people were homeless. They saw that people needed to eat. And they took time out of their day without complaining about it. And they are very wholesome people. They have a great heart for God. And Brother Kevin Lee, I was speaking to him last night about this. He owns a Chick Cop restaurant in the Irving Mall. He's a great evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how it's good that people care to go out there. They're not over there doing it out of you know, they don't feel obligated, they don't feel anything like that. They're doing it completely out of the love of the heart for other people in Christ, because we're supposed to be reaching out and helping our fellow man. And even if that means sacrificing of ourselves, if you see somebody in need and you turn them away, you're turning God away. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hand anybody a bunch of cash and say, here. But you still need to help people. You need to do what you can. And even if that means you sacrifice, you do not let somebody go hungry. You do not let somebody go naked. You do everything you can, and you pray for them. And you don't make a big spectacle about it, because the Bible says that a man who loudly blesses his neighbor in the morning, it becomes a curse. We do not make a big spectacle about it. We do not go out of our way to make sure that people see us doing it. And we don't tell people that we did it. We do it because we love the person, and we keep it between me, between you, them, and God. And, you know, people, too, sometimes they'll become full of pride, and they won't want to accept things, and they don't understand that, you know, if I don't accept this, maybe this person can't receive a blessing for blessing me. So people can't be too prideful either. If you need help, you need to not be afraid to ask people for it. There are people that love you. And, yes, you're going to run across somebody, you know, more times than you may care to admit, that's going to be rude, and it's going to be like, go away, and it's going to be rude, and maybe even start cussing you out. But, you know, there are people out there that care. And I just want everybody to know, too, that, you know, Brother Joel and there's Pastor Raul over there and all the other people, you know, they went out of their way. They could have been doing anything else that Sunday morning. They might have had other things to do, but they didn't do those other things. They went out there to help people in need. There were children there, there were women there, there were men there, and these people were sitting there, and they clearly had problems, and they clearly weren't happy with maybe what was going on in their life, but they were sitting there, and they were really taking in the Word of God. And, you know, sometimes people, they're sidetracked because they don't feel like God's in their life, you know, or you may think that they're not listening, as you said, Brother Joel. But they're listening, and, you know, they start to take these things to heart. And, you know, it is sad to see children that are homeless, but, you know, on the other hand, there's a reason why we're there. We're there to help people. There's a reason why God puts people there to help these people, because God will draw attention to that person on purpose so that you could be used for his glory to help this person. And, you know, Brother Joel, it's a great thing that, you know, you guys are out there doing, because, you know, unfortunately some of these people would probably go without a meal for days on end. And it's a good thing that you guys care enough, because, you know, unfortunately other people probably don't. But, you know, it's a great thing, you know, you and Pastor Raul, you were out there shouting the gospel, and you didn't care if there was 100,000 people there or one person there. You weren't gonna let anything stop you from preaching the gospel. You had the microphone out there, and you were praying, and you were telling people how it was. And it was a good thing, obviously. And I was even listening to a little bit of what you were saying. You're talking about how, you know, maybe, you know, people have come out of prison, you know, they come out of whatever, but there's still hope, there's joy in the Lord. And that's what I got out of your message, that even though people may have come out of jail or they're homeless or whatever, you know, maybe they went through a hard life themselves, but, you know, there's joy in the Lord. And, you know, it doesn't matter what we're going through in our life, we have to continuously rejoice, because rejoicing in him is what's going to get us through the situation. And, you know, I'd like to thank everybody, too, for you know, on your program this morning, Brother Joel, for listening. I'm sure that I'm probably rambling on, but I go on, you know, I preach, and, you know, I'm not perfect, and I never said that I was. But, you know, God has put me in a lot of different places for a reason, and I didn't even understand it. And, you know, I don't understand myself why I do some of the things I do. I can, you know, remember doing things, you know, and praying and seeing things happening in people's lives and going and praying for them, and I never understood why God would show me these things. And honestly, I was quite disturbed by it, and I said, no, God, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. And I can remember praying for somebody one time, and I can visually see a cancer growth in their, you know, I saw like a tumor. And I said, oh, God, I cursed this cancer in the name of Jesus. And I was in front of a few people, and they looked at me like, huh? And come to find out, this person had cancer, and they were able to do surgery, and they were able to take some of it out. And, you know, it was absolutely amazing because I didn't understand why I was doing what I was doing. I started walking around, and I just started talking, and I just started praying and laying hands on people. And I was, like, thinking to myself, what, am I crazy? Am I dreaming this? You know, and I didn't know what to think, but I started walking around, and I walked up to this woman who was in a wheelchair, and she wasn't completely wheelchair-bound, but she was, you know, close to it, and I walked up to her, and I said, I curse leg problems, I curse multiple sclerosis. It does not mean multiple sclerosis. MS means mighty savior. Jesus is king. And this lady started getting up and walking a little bit. She didn't walk up and start running marathons or anything like that. But, you know, I knew that it was definitely a good step because this lady started walking around. And who else but God, Brother Joel, can do any of that? You know, you can't do it. I can't do it. You know, no other pastor or anything can do it. Only Jesus can do that. So, you know, I never understood that. And honestly, sometimes I still get weirded out by it. But, you know, God puts people in a position and in a certain place so that they can be used for his good. And I thank God that he, even though sometimes I get a little bit weirded out by it, I thank God that he uses me for this purpose because, you know, obviously, you know, we have to love people enough to make ourselves uncomfortable. We're going to be pushed out of our comfort zone. People can't expect to be in a little hardened shell and feel like they're completely safe and then wonder why they're not having a spiritual growth. You're going to be pushed beyond your comfort level and sometimes far beyond it. But if you're not willing to do it or you back out, you're going to start to recognize not only the situation's not going away, they're probably getting worse. God will use you for his glory. And even though we may feel like, oh, my God, I'm not doing this, you know, God is definitely a healing God, and he loves people just the way that they are. You don't have to prove anything to God. The world will say, show me, and I'll believe. The world will say, well, I don't believe that. That's not tangible. Well, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We may not see what's going on in our life. We may not see that God blessing us. But if God wasn't blessing us, we wouldn't have gotten up this morning. And, you know, people don't recognize these small blessings, or they'll consider them, small blessings, but they are actually quite big blessings. God gives us the power and the courage to go on in faith so that we can trust in him and so that we can abide in his word and so that we can do great things in him, because he said, greater things than I have done you can do. And, you know, Brother Joel, it's a good thing that we serve a mighty God, because we were all bound for hell.
Yes.
But through the love of Jesus, you know, we have the opportunity to come to serve Jesus. And I would encourage anybody, and I mean anybody, who doesn't have the Lord this morning, maybe you're listening to Brother Joel's program here for the first time, and maybe you are, you know, you don't even understand why you listen to him. Maybe you just turned it on this morning, and maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you don't believe in anything. But I encourage you to pick up the Bible, and I encourage you that you know, if you feel that you need something, call the number that Brother Joel gave you at the beginning of this program and to pray with somebody. And if anybody wants to pray, then, you know, I'm here, Brother Joel's here. Anybody, you know, we can pray. And, you know, if you want to accept Jesus right now, don't be afraid. You can't be afraid of, you know, well, this person isn't going to like me. My family is going to disown me. It isn't about them. It isn't to the person to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back of you. It's you. You're the one that has to take that holy, bold step to the Lord, because if you don't, you're going to fall along the wayside. You're going to get nowhere in your life. You're going to be like a yo-yo, and you're going to wonder why. And God's giving everybody an opportunity right now, if they want to serve him and they want to do good things, to just come to him. And if you want to pray with me, you want to pray with anybody,
Amen.
Brother Joel.
Amen. Right now, our phone lines are open right now. Your number you can call is 310-982-4126, and you too can talk to Brother Joel that I'm interviewing today. My name is Joel, and his name is Joel. So we thank God for that, bringing that there together. But if you would like to have prayer, make any comments regarding this portion of our program, please feel free to give us a call. Brother Joel, you said quite a bit there, and I was just sitting back and enjoying what you were sharing with us there. And you was talking about the Korean churches coming that came down last weekend, and they truly blessed the ministry, and you was a part of that at that setting there. But I am so pleased that you taking up the challenge to be the hands and the eyes and the heart of our Lord and Savior representative here on earth here, because God can do all things, but he worked through people, and he worked through programs, and he works through ministries. And I thank you for being a part of God's master plan as to take the gospel and salvation to every creature, young or old, black, white, whatever it may be, that everyone is able to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Joel, as you were sharing your take on the gospel, how important it is to continually to go to ministries like the one I met you at, the street ministry, and to share with our brothers and sisters, thus says the Lord. You had already touched on some things about, in regards to what state of life you're in, that you still need to hear the gospel. But sometimes we get so null to the point, because you see people day after day, year after year, and you saying that I helped her and I supported this, but yet there's no change. It's not up for us to see the change, but I want you to give me insight on what keeps you doing what you do in spite of what's going on, because you've been various places and you've seen people in different states, but yet you continually to share the gospel. What keeps you doing what you do?
Honestly, sometimes it seems weird, but I think God pretty much almost forces me onto a bus or something. I was joking around with somebody about that, you know, the other day. I was in Boston, Massachusetts for a while. You know, I grew up in Connecticut, and I've been living in Vermont for a little bit. And, God had me go out to Western Massachusetts, which is not that far from Hartford, Connecticut. Springfield and Hartford are about 30 to 35 minutes away from each other, which is why we started doing it in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Unfortunately, the hotel we were doing the services at kind of closed due to some, you know, state problems with the hotel. But we, you know, had the opportunity to go around and minister all over Western Massachusetts. At first it was Chicopee, Springfield, Holyoke, West Springfield, Ludlow. And then God started having us going into the Hartford, Connecticut area. And then we started going out to New York City. And when I moved to Vermont, I started evangelizing all over Middlebury, all over Rutland, all over Burlington. Burlington, Vermont is very well known. I would be evangelizing. And, you know, one day God just pretty much put me on a bus. I mean, I ended up in Boston. I started praying for people. And one day, you know, a friend of mine who's an evangelist, she's from Jamaica, and, you know, may God rest her soul, she just passed away recently. Her name is Vivian. She lived in Baltimore, Maryland. She always encouraged me, and every time I would get down, you know, it was almost like God would be calling her. You know, and she called me, she said, "Listen, you can't wallow in self-pity. God loves you." And, you know, with her Jamaican accent, and, you know, she started praying, and I ended up in Baltimore for a while. I was praying in churches in Baltimore. And like I said, I ended up in Memphis, and, you know, I started just traveling around. And, you know, honestly, before this, you know, I would never want to get on a Greyhound bus. I would never want to, you know, start traveling all over the place. I didn't like the idea. You know, I didn't feel comfortable traveling all over the place because I just didn't like to travel. But now, I mean, you know, sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Do I like getting on buses and being on them for over a day? No. Do I like getting on trains and being on them for 3-4 days? No. But I love the fact that when I go on them, I'm able to evangelize to people. And sometimes people even evangelize to me, which is good. And sometimes I'll learn new things. And, you know, sometimes I'll be stuck on something and I won't know what to say to somebody. And somebody else will be there and they'll start talking. You know, and next thing I know, I mean, I was in the Irving Mall the other day, and I was kind of stuck talking, you know, thinking about something. This lady was sitting there. She started telling me everything. She was praying, and she had a five-year-old daughter, brother told her. And this was the most amazing thing. She had a five-year-old daughter. And this little girl was spitting out gospel scriptures like you would not believe. This little girl was spitting out Timothy. She was spitting out all kinds of stuff. And she was so smart. She was smiling. And I said, well, what do you think Jesus is? What do you think the whole purpose of life is? You know, and I don't know why I said that to her, because most people think we can ask that to a five-year-old. But this girl actually said to me, it doesn't matter what we go through in life because Jesus loves us. And this little girl was 5 years old, and that's all she said. And she smiled. And, I mean, this girl had this big smile on her face, and that was what she said. And it was absolutely a blessing because, you know, this little girl, you know, she was talking to her mother and to me and to this other man that were sitting next to us. She was talking about how Jesus loves children and how, you know, Jesus said, suffer not the children. And, you know, she didn't say it in those exact words, but that's what she was talking about.
Yeah, we know how what they're trying to say. Joel, that is so true there, man. That is powerful. We have a call on the line here. If you want to take a moment here, because this portion of our show is winding down, so we just like our guests just to say hello to you and maybe give you words of encouragement. And so just hold on here, and then we're going to bring you on, let you wrap this portion up. And we're speaking with Joel. He's an evangelist, and we met him at one of our street ministries, and he was a blessing to me and encourager to the listening audience. And I wanted to bring him on here so you too could be blessed by how God is using him. So we're going to bring one of our guests on the line here.
Amen.
Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, Mike. You on the net? Good morning. Okay, then. So I guess he just wants to listen. You, callers, you have the choice of listening to the program or coming in and being a part of the program.
Okay.
When you first call in, you'll hear a prompt that says one to join the conversation or two to just listen in. So just be mindful. It's okay. It's okay. You can just listen or you can just call in. So we want to thank you for your support. We got them back on the line here. Let's see what they want to do here. Good morning, caller. You on the net?
Yes, I think I accidentally muted the line. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you now. We have our guest on the line here, and we're about ready to wrap up this portion of the program. We're speaking with Mike. He's an evangelist and a missionary. So you like to say hello to him and give him words of encouragement?
Yes, I would. I'm fine. And you, sir?
Absolutely fine.
Good. Well, I just want to say that Jesus came to do something new. You know, he said he came to do a new thing. And all ministries do not have to take on the same form or shape. And it's like a vehicle. You know, there are many ways to get to a particular point and destination. You can take a fast train, airplane, car, you can hitchhike, you can ride. But the whole thing is Jesus says, go ye into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. And sometimes we're called, and we don't know why we're called, and the method and means in which we spread the gospel may not be the particular way that we wanted to or thought we should. So God is using you for his purpose. And listening to you this morning has enlightened my heart, because God is not limited are boxed into any one particular way. Through you, he's letting people know that he can minister to people in the way that he knows, because he is the omniscient one. And he knows not only what people need, but he knows where people are and how to position people such as you to meet the need in the time that need is prevalent. So I want to, you know, encourage you to continue to humble yourself and let the mighty hand of God direct you in the way that he so will. Because in doing so, he will exalt you and give you favor in the eyes of all mankind. And then you'll grow in your faith, and you'll come to know the true God. And then you'll marvel in him, and you'll find the rest that you're seeking for your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, though, brother. Thank you. Now, Joel, as we get ready to wrap, Mike, just hold on, man. We're going to let Joel have a few words before we get out of here. And hold on, we got another great guest coming up, Mike, but you're also a part of the program, so we want to hear your comments regarding our breakfast from last weekend. So you just hold on there. Now, Joel, thank you for being a guest on the program here. Mike made some powerful comments about what he heard from you. So, brother, keep doing what you're doing. It makes a difference in the lives of men and women. You know, we have a slogan on the program, Help Change a Life. I thank God for people like you that's on the front line that's helped changing the lives of our brothers and sisters. You know, someone's life is going to be changed, and they will never know. You would never know. Put it that way. You would never see the impact or the results of that. And it's not for us to see, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that God's word changes the lives of the listeners. So keep doing what you do. Okay?
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Now, Joel, we want you to be a guest on here a later date. You know we're going to be calling you and find out what's going on with you and how God is continuing to use you. And any time that you're in Dallas, please feel free to give us a call, and we'll get together and break some bread and do a little ministry, okay?
Amen, brother. And if that brother Mike wants to speak to me, maybe you guys can give him my number, and I'd be happy to speak to him as well.
Okay, that sounds good, then. We sure will. And thank you very much, okay?
You have a blessed day, Brother Joel.
All right. God bless you. And stay tuned to this program, Brother Carl. We got some more great guests coming up. We're on every Saturday morning, so please feel free. You can listen to us at any time, 24/7, at our archive.
Amen, brother.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. What a great guest that we had there. What a great guest there with Brother Mike there. I'm sorry, Brother Joel. We got Mike on the line right now. We got another guest that's going to be coming up here in a few minutes here. We're going to call them in. So caller, just hold on here. We're going to bring in our next guest and just get them on here right quick. And we're truly going to be blessed. We pray that you've been blessed by our program. You too can join in the conversation at 310-982-4126. And you too can call in and give your comments and voice your opinion regarding our program. Amen. So, good morning, you on the net?
Yes, this is Joel. God bless you.
Good morning, Bishop. Thank you. Welcome to our internet program. I am excited about having you to be a guest on the show. I saw you a couple of weeks ago at our street ministry, and I was blown away. I said, I need to get Bishop Chalk on here to talk about the goodness of God. And not only were you sharing the word of God, but at the end of the sermon, you started breaking down tables and chairs with your suit on. I said, man, this man is sold out for Jesus.
Amen. I was glad to be there. I tell you, it was much needed. I tell you, I enjoyed myself, and I love what they are doing out there in the community.
Amen. But you know what? You gave us an insight of what's going on. So introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry and what God has put you in your hands to do and encourage us to keep doing what we do.
Well, I tell you, I'm here in the Dallas, Texas area. I'm located at I got two locations. I'm in the Pleasant Grove area here in Dallas, and that address is 8943 Senator Road, and the other one is located in the Oak Cliff area, and that's 1003 High Hill Boulevard.
Yes, I'm looking at one of your flyers right now, man. And it's here. And this what you got on is HHOPI and KIMR. What is that?
Holy House of Prayer Interpretation and Keep It Real Ministry. And so we're preaching and reaching and teaching, you know, just as Jesus had commanded the disciples to do, go out and preach out the gospel out throughout the world. And that's what we're doing. We're carrying the gospel out to the world, to the rich and the poor. God had no respectable person that he's reaching. You know, the Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. And we got there preparing to come in. Because there's ever been a time, it's time now to come into the kingdom of God. The Bible says the harvest is ready, but it's ready through labor. Pray to the Father that he would send labor into the vineyard to work. And that's our motto. We believe in getting out in the kingdom, working. Building that we're kingdom builders.
And you know what? And I saw you firsthand at that. You know, as you was down there at our street ministry, and you were sharing the gospel, how important it is for churches to get outside the four walls and go out there to the masses and compel men and women, boys and girls, to have a relationship with Jesus. Not at my church, but just have that pure, unadulterated relationship with Jesus.
It is so important. You know, as the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn away from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. We can look out through the land and we can see now that the land needs to be healed. There are so many oppositions out here and the dilemmas that we are living in our today's society. We look around, amen, we see young people, you know, dying and you know, marching to the cemetery without even the cancellation. You know, we got gangbangers, you know, need to be reached. You know, we got drug pushers, we got prostitution. We need to rectify that situation, you know, and turn them back to God, because God knows, the Bible says he has no pleasure in the wicked past, but all come to repentance. And all we have to do is just come back to Jesus, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not pass but have everlasting life. So he did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that the world might be saved.
Hey, man, you know, I have a heart and a passion for youth ministry. I go down to the juvenile center, Henry Wade, and also the youth field, and I see how young men are struggling with life issues. I see how young men are trying to take matters into their own hand, and they wasting their time. But I encourage them through the word of God that life is more than just substance. How do you break through that wall of that barrier? How do you, Nehemiah said there's a wall that need to be restored. How do you go ahead and plug in the breaches of those walls for our young men to let them know that they don't have to waste their life on riotous living?
I feel that it still takes a village to raise one child. And I believe that it's going to take all of us to get involved. And I believe that, you know, we need to get more involved with our youth. I feel that we need to get out and let them know that, you know, we love them, you know, and there is a better way. And we need to live as an example, you know, and through our attributes and our characteristics to show them that on this side is better, you know, because the world is showing them another side. And we as believers, and we those that have been changed, and the Bible said that we do want to say so, it's for us, you know, saying to go out and witness to them, and like you said, compel them to come in. You know what I'm saying? Before it's too late. They don't have to die like that. They don't have to go in like a revolving door in our prison system, you know, because the prison system is overcrowded. Our juvenile system is overcrowded. Our dropout rate is overrated, you know. It's time for to get out and reach the young people, because they are our tomorrow's future. And if you don't compel them now or try to persuade them to change now, how will I ever be led on down through the years?
Hey, man. You know what? I like this latter part of your hand out here. Say, keep it real ministry. And you was down there with someone else. Now, who else was ministering with you that you walked side by side and sharing the gospel with?
No, that is Pastor Curtis Alexander. You know, basically he has to give his own testimony, but I can give a brief of it. We're one of the biggest drug dealers here in Dallas, Texas. And, God changed his life. He didn't have to go to prison to change. God changed his life, man. He walked away from $1 million operation. And I tell you, he's very respected in the streets. And God had changed his life tremendously. And he's going back as well, going out, compelling them to come in and giving his testimony. You know, God said, by the blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, you overcome. And so he keeps telling his testimony that God is able and God can change your life. And with God, is nothing impossible. And with God, he shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for sharing that, because we know that God changed. That's what our program is all about, changing life. Help change a life in Jesus' name. I thank God for what you and Kellen and Pastor Alexander is doing, and all those that are standing at the gates of hell and knocking on the doors and asking them, you know, let them go. And I share with the jail. I go down to the jail and I share with our brother down there. Sometimes we'll complain about getting back the thing that the enemy stole. A lot of times we gave stuff away. The enemy didn't take it from. We gave it away. But we have to realize those things that God is a restorer. We gave away some years because we spent years of incarceration, years of drug addiction, years of crazy lifestyle. But yet God is a restorer. And when he restored, he said, now you go out and you do the same for someone else, you know. He told Peter, you're going to get out of this thing. This ain't the end of you. But when you get out, you be mindful how you got out. And you have that patience. And you have that tender heart towards someone. I tell the people, ministry to me is about having a thick skin but a soft heart. I got to stand, you know, against the wiles of the enemy, but I got to be tender enough to know my brother's struggling. And he's going to get out of it if he don't lose heart. And thank you for sharing that. And I heard y'all testimony at the street ministry, and I was blown away. And I was encouraged by what you had to say, because we know that some people come down and they hope is lost, you know. They come down there for just food and the resources, but we know that they really need the word of God. How do you keep doing what you're doing in spite of everything going on, in spite of your own issues, but you continually to talk about God? Tell us, encourage us.
Yeah. You know, I just talking to this being, a scripture ran across from my mind. The Bible said man cannot live off of bread alone, but every word proceed out of the mouth of God. And Jesus told the Pharisee, your forefathers, they ate the bread, a manna from heaven, but still yet they died. But if you eat of this bread, the bread of life, you shall live forever. You know, eat the bread that you're not going to perish. You know, but the thing is that what motivates me is that God redeemed me. And even in that lifestyle where I was living that God delivered me from, I was not satisfied. There was still an empty void. You know, after all that I have done and after all I have seen, there was still something missing in my life. I was not complete. I sold drugs and I was involved with drugs and I chased women and I went to the clubs, and I live a lavish lifestyle. And
All right, now, come on now.
But yet still, there was something empty. There was still something missing. I was not complete. I was not made whole, you know. And one day I went to a service, and I tell you, in that service, something came all over me. And that day, you know, I felt the change. I felt the begging call of Jesus. You know, the Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. He said, I will come in. And that day, I surrendered. And I let Christ come in my life. And ever since I let him come in my life, there have been a difference. There have been a change. And those things that I used to desire, I don't desire anymore. Those things that I used to do and try to go, I can't go anymore. You know, it's just something about the love of Christ. That's why the Bible says, come and taste the Lord and see how good he is. He's that good. He, you know what? He's better than Coke. I thought the Coke was the real thing, but Jesus is the real thing.
Hey, there. God bless you. Hey, Bishop, God bless you. We got a couple of callers on the line here. We're going to bring them in and give you words of encouragement. And just because we want everyone to know that God is real. That's what the name of our program said, free on the inside. You know, in spite of everything that went on, you still had that freedom that comes from Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, how can you tell me that? But now God said, now go out and tell everybody. And, you know, and before we bring it together, I reminded, as you were saying, about Jesus had touched this man that was in the graveyard. And after Jesus had healed him and cast the demon out of the man wanted to follow him, Jesus said, now go tell your family, go tell your friends what God have done. And that's what you are doing. That's what y'all ministry is all about, going out telling God, people, what God is able to do. We got a guest coming up here right now, a caller, so we're going to bring them in.
Amen.
Brother Daniel, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Nicholas.
Man, we have Bishop on the line here. Just say a few words to him, and we're going to bring him back in. And then we're going to go over the program, man, because he's a great man of God and very encouraging, and we thank God for him.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
God bless you this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're alive today and alive, and your word with God is alive inside of you. And I've been around a lot of places a couple of days, and I've been seeing faces of the people of the city of Dallas and Fort Worth, and how people look up and looking around, looking like they don't have no hope in them, man. You know, and really, when you come and tell them that, you know, somebody loves you, man. You know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you and gave his life for you, so you don't have to die and go to hell. But, you know, they're just like our generation, and it seems like they just done lost hope. You know, and then they put all the faith in the earthly stuff they got. You know, I'm rich, and I got a college degree, and you know, like I'm saying, yesterday I worked around a lot of people at this university and college, and they were sitting around front. You know, I got a degree, and I have plenty of money, and they just don't understand. You know, one little kick, and everything you got will be gone.
Amen. God bless you there, Brother Daniel. I see what you're trying to say there. God, hey, I pray that you've been encouraged by the bishop here. We got another call on the line. Just hold on to that thought, Brother Daniel. We're going to come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, then we got another call. We want to maximize this time here. We don't want to hold the bishop up. We thank you for being a guest on the program. And so we're going to come back here. Mike, you're on the net.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm really moved by his passion. Because, see, that's what God wants. God wants us to have a passionate desire for the lost, that God desires that no man should perish, but that all should come to the saving grace and the knowledge through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so there's a word in the Bible that oftentimes I ponder over. And the word is either sent or send. As God says, who can we send? Who will go for us? Who can we send? And then Isaiah, which is really Christ, prophesied, said, send me, Lord. And so God, the Son, was sent into the world. And that's what he's telling us to do. You mentioned, Joel, that we need to get outside the walls because we're comfortable in those walls. And then we begin to witness unto those who are already saved, and we develop what I call closed boundaries. We're only reaching out to the people that we've already reached out and God's brought into the church. So when I hear people like the bishop, and not just that he's doing it, but he's doing it with such zeal and such a passion. And so I just want to encourage him that he's motivating me and other people who are listening to get out there in the streets. I'm convicted to do more because of what I'm hearing this morning. Because we can all become a little slack in our doing.
Just hold on and we're going to let the bishop wrap this up. We're going to bring you right back. Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm not going to hold you up because we know we had a time frame. We want to be obedient, brother. We're not going to get you out here and then ambush you, you know, because the word of God is powerful. You know, I do jail ministry. Brothers come in there, they'll listen to the word, they'll get up, say, I'm going to go exercise. That's okay. Go. The word of God is going to be here. You know, I'm not offended, you know. So we want to be decent in our Bishop, thank you very much. I appreciate what you're doing in the gospel, bro. I know without a shadow of doubt that you're making a difference, that the ministry that you share with our brothers and sisters is making a difference. I saw how the people, they rush to prayer when y'all call for prayer, you know, because their hearts are burning, man. They're burning. Now tell us, Bishop, encourage us how important it is. You said it once, but I want to hear it again because I need that. I'm going to start my day. How important it is to be involved in the changing the lives of someone in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And the love of God was manifested towards us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. This is love. And the Bible says, if you see your brother in the need, do not shut up your bowels of compassion. And we see a new need out here. You know, we see brothers struggling every day. But we pass them by. We want them to say a kind word. But now we don't even salute our brother. We don't even speak. The Bible teaches, salute our brother. You know, even with a brother with kiss, amen, with a handshake. You know, just show your support. Somebody cares. Somebody, thank God for you waking up this morning. Thank God that you exist. You know, with your existence, me be able to see you better than my day. You know, that I can do something for someone else to help them, amen, on their journey because someone helped me. We need
Amen.
Each other.
God bless you all. That's a powerful. You know, Bishop, I want you to come back on here. I want you to continue to be a guest on the program. I realize that you're busy, man, but thank you for taking time out. Someone prayed for me when I couldn't pray for myself, when I wouldn't pray. Because why? They stopped and they took time out, man. You know, God will call each one of us for a task. But if we're so busy that we're not willing to help the people of God. Don't see, I share with brothers, don't get so caught up pursuing the things of God. You're not willing to help the people of God. David was in Ziklag. He was pursuing his property, but yet he stopped to help someone. They blessed him, was tied up in that. Thank you. Thank you for stopping by and sharing with us today, because it truly blessed me and the listening audience.
It blessed me just to be on the air, amen, and blessed for the encouraging words, amen, just to even inspire me to keep going on and keep doing what I'm doing. Amen. I need that, and I submit to y'all prayers as well. Keep me in prayer, amen, that I keep doing what God have called me to do. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
God
go
bless
out
you.
In the highways and byways and compare those that come in into the kingdom of God. Not the four walls, amen. We got enough churches on the corners, amen. We need people into the kingdom of God for God to change their life, because God's the only one that can do it, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Help change a life in Jesus' name. Bishop, I'm going to call you all kind, but you all are, you're the man of God. Bishop, thank
man,
you.
I thank God.
Go back and listen
and
to this
what,
program.
I'm not caught up with time, but I thank God for that. Amen. Praise God. But I'm not caught up. Father, I'm a servant for Christ. Amen.
It is a servant. That's what we are. Thank you very much. I'm going to call you at a later date and just for you to encourage me. You know, keep
me
going.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Enjoy your day. Remember to listen.
And listen, amen, if they want to contact me, they can contact me anytime. And that number is 469-648-9140.
Hey, man, get that number out again.
469-648-9140.
Amen, amen. And that number do work, because I call it, and he always answers the phone. God bless
amen.
You. Hey, God be encouraged and keep us in your prayers. Amen.
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 God
oh, what
you.
A great guest that we had. That was the bishop. Amen. We got a couple of callers on the line here, and we want to thank the bishop for being a part of it. We're going to bring in Brother Daniel, then we're going to have Brother Mike to close us out here. Brother Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, D?
I'm doing great, man. We just got the bishop off the line here. We only got a few more minutes here, brother. Thank you for being a guest. Thank you for your comments regarding the show. We had some great guests on this morning, brother. But, man, thank you for your participation last weekend at the breakfast, brother. It was a true blessing.
I'm glad I could be any help I could be for you. See, I'm just a servant, Joe. I'm just
hey,
a
man,
servant,
that's it.
Man.
And, you know, it's always good for brothers to come together in unity, man, and share. And so thank you for the pictures, the, your support, and all those things that go along with it, man, and your posting, too, also. And we got Mike on the line here, man, and we want him to come on in here, brother. We want everyone to experience the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brother. You know, help change a life, man. I just don't say that, man. I mean it, man. I want someone to help change my life, brother. Brother Dan, you helping? I remember when I was down and out, brother, because of your words of encouragement, you allowed me to go, and Mike done the same, and all the people that I encountered, man, you know what? I draw from y'all. I'm pretty sure that y'all be tired when y'all leave me, brother, because I'll be like, get all I can out of you. You probably say, wow, man, I'm tired after this, because I don't, you know what? I learned just, everything have a purpose and a reason. I just don't keep stuff around for nothing, man, you know. And so thank you, brother, for letting me draw from you, brother. You're my well, you're a refreshing well in the time of drought, man, because you're connected with Jesus and our Lord and Savior God, you know. Amen. Brother Mike.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm
sorry about that interrupt, man.
I'm at the airport. The annual breakfast, the annual men's prayer breakfast was a total success, because it did what it's supposed to do, and that was to bring men together from different walks of life, different geographical territories, working sometimes in isolation and struggling, but coming together and enabling God to let us know that we're all part of the body of Christ, and that the work that we're doing is for the kingdom, and that we can be refreshed in our spirit by knowing that we're not by ourselves, that God is answering prayers and sending laborers out in the field. And so when I get a chance to be involved in something like that, to know that there are other men who have a heart like Christ and the passion for the lost, then I'm rejuvenated and refreshed in my spirit to go to work. And then I've been moved by Brother Daniels. I hope you'll let me do this. You know, one of the things that he's done for me is that a lot of times he'll close with a poem, and those poems always stimulate something in me and remind me of something that God has done or is doing and should yet do again. And I'm hoping today that I can share a little poem that I ran across, and it's an old poem, and I've seen it so many times, and I think it would be good for our audience if the opportunity presents itself. If not today, then maybe at a future time.
Well, go right ahead now, brother.
Okay, it's called The Tainted Rosebud, and it was sparked by a young new preacher who was walking with an older, more seasoned preacher in the garden of their church one day, and the younger preacher was feeling a bit insecure about what God had called him to do. And he was inquiring and asking the older preacher. And the older preacher walked up to a rosebud and handed the younger preacher a rosebud and told him to open it without tearing off any petals. And the young preacher looked in and looked in disbelief at the older preacher and was trying to figure out what a rosebud could possibly have to do with what he wanted to know in terms of the will of God for his life and for his ministry. Because of his high respect for the older preacher, he proceeded to try to unfold the rose while keeping every petal intact. And it wasn't long before he realized it was impossible for him to do so. And so the older preacher, watching his inability to unfold the rosebud while keeping it intact, began to cite this poem. "It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. For the secret of unfolding the flower is not known to one such as I. But only God opens this flower so sweetly, when in my hands they fade and die. If I cannot unfold the rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust to him for his leading. Each moment of every day, I'll look to him for his guidance, each step of this pilgrim's way. For the pathway that lies before me, only my Heavenly Father knows. So I'll trust him to unfold each moment just as he unfolds the rose." And that's just so true in life. God
Amen.
Has created everything, including us. And everything has its season to bloom and blossom. Then why don't we trust him to unfold the moments of our life so we can rebuild the beauty of the rose that lies in us as well?
Hey, man, that's beautiful, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Brother, we pray that you enjoyed this program, and we pray that you continue to do the thing that God has put your hands to do. Mike, I'm very encouraged about each time I talk to you, brother, how you're so fired up, and it keeps me going. Sometimes I need to be encouraged. And, you know, and I thank God for people like you that I was sharing with Brother Daniel. I'm going to tell you personally that you ought to be tired when you finish talking to me, brother, because I'll be trying to get all your little stuff out of you, brother, because I thank God for you, brother. You truly been a blessing to me. So keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes you may not see the results of it, brother, but it's not for us to see. God knows. And so don't get tired, of well doing, because I appreciate what you're doing. And guess what, brother? And God has joined us together, Mike. So, we're going to be doing many, many things, and I want you to invite me to some of your events and come there and just pack the pews, so to speak, you know. So please keep us in mind anything you got going on, brother, because this is God's business, man. I always say this is God's business. But we have Brother Daniel who's coming back on. We're getting ready to close out of this program. Brother, we thank you for being a part of it. We pray that you've been blessed by the guests. We had one of our guests was Joel. He's an evangelist and a missionary. And then we had Bishop Chalk. He has several churches here in the Dallas area. So he came out and he shared with us the goodness of God. Now, Brother Daniel.
Yes,
sir. God bless you. Thank you for holding on.
Amazing poem, man. It's an amazing poem he wrote, and it's so true.
Amen.
How you
amen.
Doing today? And I'm sorry I kind of called kind of late today, but, you know, better late than never, man, you know.
Yes, you're so right. You're so right. Yeah, Brother Daniel, we thank you for just always being a guest, being a co-host on the program. As we get ready to get out of here, brother, would you like to have a few words to close us out?
Yeah. We're going to end the day with a prayer. And today, I wanna give a prayer to the men of the world who are struggling and trying to improve themselves and try to prove that their worthiness, try to prove that it's worthiness. And the ones that walk around with the head down and feeling despondent and acting like you don't, no, nobody loves you and nobody cares for you, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus loves you and he died for you. And he gave his life so that you won't have to die and go to hell. He gave up his life, and that's a friend. And so I want to encourage all men, old and young. You know, some of this comes from us being at the breakfast last week, how we was talking about how all the men was encouraging each other, encouraging no matter what fault you have done, whatever sin you have done, whatever crime you have done, man might not forgive you, but God loves you, and he forgives you when you give yourself to him. And so we pray that all the airwaves that he's hearing what I'm saying and these words I'm saying, I'm here to encourage all the men for a better way.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, my brother Daniel. As we get ready to depart, brother, we have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this program, dear Lord. We thank you for the guests, dear Lord, that took time out of their schedule, dear Lord, to share the gospel, dear Lord. We pray that it follow from ground, dear Lord. We pray that the men and women, boys and girls, be encouraged by what they hear, dear Lord. Free on the inside, Lord. You give us that freedom, dear Lord. We was held hostage and bound by the things that we pursued, dear Lord. But yet you gave us a better path, dear Lord. Let us walk worthy of that path. Let us have patience with the ones that we encounter, dear Lord. Let us have words of encouragement, dear Lord. Let us be able to help someone change their life in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. We thank you. We thank you, dear Lord. We ask you as we go out today, dear Lord, let us be a blessing to someone. Let someone be a blessing to us, dear Lord. Open our eyes that we can see your hand at work in everything that we do. Open our ears, dear Lord, that we can hear you. Dear Lord, allow us to be the people that you want us to be in such a time as this. Dear Lord, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, which is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Dear Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, there, brothers. Amen.
So we be free on the
inside. Free on the inside. God bless you. You gentlemen have a great day. Looking forward to talking to you later. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen.
Amen. I do.